BBC headlines take us up to 4 minutes past 8 o'clock. Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGMU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear from a local nonprofit that's been monitoring about 10 bald eagle nests in and around northern Colorado. They're concerned about the Prairie Dog Management Plan by Boulder County and how that could impact the eagles. Prairie dogs provide a vital food source for the birds. Then Lafayette City Council has 5 open seats in this year's election, and there are 5 candidates that are running on a shared platform, and a lot of that is centred around community rights. We'll hear from 2 of the candidates later in the Morning Magazine. After that, it's the comment line, followed by headlines from the BBC. Then it's time for science. And today on How on Earth, we'll hear about a report published earlier this month in the journal Science that indicates there has been a population decline of 2.9 billion birds since 1970. Ecological crisis is not always about extinction of rare species, but loss of abundance of common species. This morning on How on Earth, Chip Grandit speaks with Dr. Susan Bonfield of Environment for the Americas about what it means to lose so many of our fine feathered friends. At 9 o'clock will be Alan Watts rounding out this morning's news on public affairs. But first we'll begin with the latest local headlines. The City of Denver will pay nearly $1 million to settle a sex discrimination case that was brought by a former high-ranking firefighter. The Denver Post reports that at its meeting last night, Denver City Council unanimously approved the $975,000 settlement for Collie Fisher. Fisher was a captain in the Denver Fire Department and she was fired in 2015. She said that she was the victim of bullying and harassment, and she claimed she was fired in retaliation for filing 2 sex discrimination claims. On Monday night, Denver City Council unanimously approved a $975,000 settlement with Fisher. A federal jury had awarded her $146,000 earlier this year for her claim of being fired as part of retaliation against speaking out over the harassment. Last month, the City of Denver approved a $1.5 million payout to 15 female deputies who claimed that they were sexually harassed at work at the Denver County Jail. That lawsuit claimed that behaviour originated from lack of structure to protect the women during the workday. The Colorado Attorney General's office announced on Monday that it had dropped its lawsuit to block the merger of T-Mobile and Sprint. This is after it reached agreements with Dish and T-Mobile. Megan Weber has more.
Dish, soon to be the nation's 4th facilities-based wireless carrier, has agreed to terms in a settlement with the Colorado Attorney General's office. One of those terms is the location of the wireless headquarters be moved to the company's riverfront facility in Littleton. Terms also included 2,000 full-time Dish employees who will work primarily on wireless within 3 years of the company's acquisition of prepaid mobile assets previously owned by Sprint, and that Colorado will be one of the first 10 states in which Dish will offer 5G broadband service. Dish Chairman Charlie Ergen said in a statement that the settlement positions Dish to make a transformative impact on the wireless market. He said this will strengthen competition nationwide as the country's first standalone 5G broadband network comes to life. He also said that the new location in Littleton will bring more jobs and opportunity to Colorado, and that the company will continue to put customers first by disrupting the status quo and accelerating investment across the industry. Dish will pay the state up to $20 million if it fails to meet the AG's requirements, and T-Mobile will pay up to $80 million if it fails to follow through on separate terms, according to the Colorado Sun. The Sun also reported that T-Mobile has promised rural Coloradans access to download speeds up to 100 Mbps within 6 years of the merger closing. For KGNU, I'm Megan Weber.
Colorado officials want to hear from the public on a new proposal that would add a more affordable public option for health coverage in the state. Adela Flores Brennan with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative says that the plan will help control costs to consumers, in part by spurring on competition at a time when hospitals, drug corporations and insurers are raking in profits. The proposal, she says, would require insurers with a certain market share to provide public option plans across Colorado.
When we talk to consumers out in different areas of the state where they maybe only have the option of one particular company selling health coverage, they wonder what they're missing and they wonder if they could get a better deal with something else.
Public comments on the proposal can be submitted to the Colorado Division of Insurance and the Department of Healthcare Policy and Finance through October 25th. The plan is set to be finalised in November after lawmakers approved the plan and the DOI, the Division of Insurance, approves rates. Then the public option is expected to roll out in 2022. In the weather today, sunny skies but breezy conditions around the Front Range, highs close to 60 degrees. Cooler tomorrow. On Wednesday, expect highs in the low 50s and rain likely Wednesday night, turning to snow for Thursday morning. It's 8:09. You're listening to KGNU. Front Range Nesting Bald Eagle Studies. It's a small non-profit that's been studying about 10 bald eagle nests in this region for the past 6 years. They're calling on Boulder County to re-examine its prairie dog management plan on open space that's close to the nests, because prairie dogs provide a vital food source for the birds. Dana Bovey with the group says that there are currently about 8 nesting pairs of bald eagles in this area.
In our study area, we go outside of Boulder County, and as I said, we have about 10 nests that we study. We go out into western Weld County, and the median distance of about 15 bald eagle nests, in our study area and just outside, that median distance is about 3.5 miles from nest to nest. And the eagles, they actually establish that distance themselves based on available resources.
What do you see as being the biggest challenges to the bald eagle nesting pairs here in Boulder County?
Well, I would say in Boulder County right now, nesting bald eagles and other wildlife have a pretty good situation in a lot of ways, because there's so much open space land that's been preserved. And one of the things that eagles, both golden and bald eagles, they require, they're big birds and they require a ton of space. And a near nest territory, the area that bald eagles in our area that defend, it's an area of about, 2 to 3 square kilometers in a way of seeing that. Maybe it's about 800 football fields side by side. It's a big area that they require. And one of the challenges, especially in areas where, like in Western Weld County where we work, there's basically no land that's being preserved for conservation. And so the biggest issues are housing development and oil and gas development.
Well, we're going to talk about how the management of another part of the wildlife ecosystem is impacting the bald eagles. And this is prairie dog management. And we'll try to make this not confusing, but there are two specific agencies that I know you're paying attention to. One is county-owned, county-managed land, Boulder County-managed land. And also then there's other parts of land that's managed by the city of Boulder. But the particular thing that we're talking about now is prairie dog management. And the management plans seem to be different a little bit on each portion of land.
That's very good. Absolutely. Yep. There is Boulder County and open space land managed by Boulder County and an agency called Boulder County Parks and Open Space. There's a lot of great land. Maybe I think there's like 17,000 acres of open space in the county. And then there's the city of Boulder has its great open space management program. It's called Open Space and Mountain Parks, or OSMP. And both of those have eagle nests on their properties.
So if we were to compare how the prairie dogs are being managed by each agency, let's first of all start with the eagle nests on the land surrounding the eagle nests, the lands that's being managed by the city of Boulder. That's primarily conservation land, is that correct?
That's right. There are two bald eagle nests on OSMP, or the City of Boulder Open Space property. And the land surrounding, the land that those nests are on, are managed as, well, there's no ag operations, at least that I know of, in or on those properties. And so prairie dogs, which are the main source, we found the main source of prey for the 10 nests that we study in, this part of the Northern Front Range, prairie dogs are wholly conserved on Boulder OSMP open space lands.
And that is beneficial to the eagles, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. As I was saying, we have documented in our studies that it is, prairie dogs are the main source of prey on the 10 nests that we study. There's about 200 bald eagle nests in Colorado. So, you know, we're at 5% of those nests, but I think we have a pretty good representative idea of the population in Colorado or in the Front Range.
So that's two of the nests that you're monitoring that's surrounded by land that's being managed right now by the city of Boulder.
That's right. We do observe and record data on two nests that are on Boulder City Open Space and Mountain Parks property. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the other nests, and those are surrounded by land that's under county management. What's happening there?
Sure. There are 8 active bald eagle nests on and adjacent to Boulder County open space or open owned property. And that property is managed by Boulder County Parks and Open Space, which is different than the City of Boulder Open Space and Mountain Parks. So 8 nests, and then there's one alternate nest as well.
So what is the land management practice on that particular land, and how does that differ from the land management practices by the City of Boulder and their open space?
Well, it's very, very different than the way the City of Boulder is managing their lands around those two nests. In fact, our state regulatory wildlife agency called Colorado Parks and Wildlife in 2008 wrote a science-based document recommending that 9.5 months out of the year, a buffer of 0.5 mile around eagle nests, both bald and golden, be conserved or not encroached upon by development, construction, you know, or any type of disturbances to keep those nests viable, sustainable, and moving on.
Well, it sounds so that the issue is how the prairie dogs are being managed as opposed to how people are specifically dealing with the eagles. But because the prairie dogs are the primary source of food for the eagles,
yes,
of course, it's a direct impact. So how are prairie dogs being managed on that county managed land surrounding those nests?
You bet. And the reason I mentioned those 0.5 mile buffers, we had one of our employees do a study, geographic information studies. It's just a geospatial study where we superimposed that state recommended 0.5 mile buffer around each of those 8 active bald eagle nests on Boulder County open space land and around the one alternate nest. And what we found is within those 0.5 mile buffers around those nests, there's Boulder County owns, there's open space ownership of 1,500 acres around those nests. And Boulder County Parks and Open Space Policy manages that land in a way, those 1,500 acres in a way, whereas 60% of that land is managed to in a way that it does not allow any prairie dogs to exist on that land, so on that percentage of land.
Are they being exterminated then?
In some places, they are. We've seen them exterminated on one of the Boulder County Parks and Open Space properties or the Boulder County properties in the 90 acres within 0.5 mile of a nest in Broomfield. Yes, they are being exterminated.
So what is that land then being used for? If we contrast that with the City of Boulder's land, which is just conservation area, what is the county doing with this land, particularly the land that they're not allowing prairie dogs to be on?
Well, Boulder County has a, you know, policy now where they are valuing agricultural lands, agricultural meaning either crop or cattle operations, I think it's the main two, and they are trying to work with the tenants or the folks that are raising crops or cattle on that land so that those tenants are happy. And a lot of the tenants feel like the prairie dogs shouldn't exist on that land. It's in conflict with that land.
Now, you mentioned this 0.5 mile buffer that was identified,
yes,
by the state agency, Colorado,
yes,
Parks and Wildlife.
Yes.
But bald eagles have a much broader range, do they not? I mean, how far can they go to actually hunt?
Well, that's a good question. And we, you know, that's something that we've heard, you know, in conversations with Boulder County, saying that, well, they do, bald eagles, we know that they hunt 3 miles away. We've heard from, you know, one of the experts that we work with that they hunt 3 miles away or 2 miles away from their nest. And we know that, that's true. But what our group has shown through our studies is that, especially in times when these birds are sitting on eggs, incubating, or tending to their young, they most of the times or oftentimes hunt within very close proximity of their nest within that half-mile buffer. And they depend on being able to get out, pick up prairie dog, again, their main source of prey, and bring it back to the nest. And we see that happen many, many times, often in a less than 2 minute time frame.
Dana Bovey is with Front Range Nesting Bald Eagle Studies, a local nonprofit, and they're calling on Boulder County to change how it's managing prairie dogs on county open space. They say they should take a leaf out of the City of Boulder open space and mountain parks in terms of how they're managing prairie dogs, because prairie dogs are providing vital food for the bald eagles. Now, if you want to see more about how the City of Boulder, which actually Dana Bovey agrees with their prairie dog management plan, Open Space and Mountain Parks is actually hosting an open house that is happening October 23rd. It's tomorrow from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at OSMP's Hub Administration Building. That's on 55th Street in Boulder. And you can find out how the City of Boulder is managing prairie dogs. And that's at tomorrow's open house. It is 8:20. You're listening to KGNU. Well, there are 5 open city council seats up for grabs this year in Lafayette, and there are 5 candidates that have a shared platform and common principles. They're all actually running independently, but collectively they call themselves the Community Rights Advocates, and many of them have come from grassroots efforts to ban fracking in eastern Boulder County. I spoke with 2 of those candidates, Marty Pfeffer and Patricia Townsend.
I've lived in Boulder. I'm self-employed, and I lived in Boulder County for 33 years. And I've always listened to KGNU, and I've been educated greatly over the years. And then about a year and a half ago, I got involved with I moved to Lafayette and got involved with an anti-fracking group there, and learned quite a bit in a very short time, and learned that the basis for the resistance to fracking was actually a question of the rights of communities for self-determination, because the history is that Lafayette banned fracking in 2013, and then that was preempted by the state of Colorado in a lawsuit. That law is still on the books, but it's not allowed to be enforced. So it quickly became evident to the people who were promoting that and got behind putting that on the ballot that there's a bigger issue here, and that's the rights of communities to be able to make their own laws and enforce them. And it's a question of, like, well, who gets to decide these things?
And that is what prompted you to step into the Lafayette City Council race?
Well, when it was announced that there was going to be 5 empty seats coming up this year, I've just been very much involved with this group. The idea was like, well, wouldn't it be great if we got 5 people to run for all 5 offices? And I am not officially endorsed by that group, nor am I representing that group. I'm running as an individual. And but a few other people that are in that group, and then some other people that are not in that group, we coalesced around 5 of us around the consumer community rights advocacy. So we're running for those 5 seats.
Go ahead. What is your background, and why are you stepping into this city council race?
Well, I feel like the most pertinent background is that I'm the mom of an 11-year-old son, and I'm very concerned about the climate crisis that we're in. And so, yeah, I don't have political aspirations, but I feel like there's a political moment happening now with awareness raising on the climate crisis, with all the youth strikes happening and Greta Thunberg being in the news so much. When I heard that there were 5 seats open in Lafayette, I just thought it was, you know, kind of my duty as a mom to stand up and say, you know, I really want us to be able to decide that we can protect our environment and contribute to protecting our climate also, not just Lafayette, but help raise this conversation and push back against oil and gas extraction that's destroying our climate.
Well, you're both Lafayette residents, obviously. Yeah. You're running for Lafayette City Council. Give listeners a sense of exactly what is happening with oil and gas activity in eastern Boulder County. And what have you seen personally in Lafayette? And what are the concerns about what lies ahead?
Well, in Boulder counties, you know, I went to a oil and gas hearing, and I've been watching in Broomfield, Longmont, you know, Lafayette, whenever there are oil and gas permitting hearings happening, people are showing up in large numbers and very emotionally calling for the commissioners or the city council people to, you know, please be reasonable about this and let us say no to fracking and oil and gas. And, you know, and all we're seeing is hand wringing. There's nothing we can do, even if we support you, you know, the laws are the way they are. And so it's a big problem right now that basically that corporate rights are elevated above community rights. And people can't make decisions about the health of their environment.
Well, to that end, Lafayette voters did, in fact, approve a ban, as did voters in Longmont. However, despite local decisions on that, it's the state that is coming in. So when local lawmakers or policymakers are saying there isn't anything we can do, that is based, I think, largely in so far as that the state has come down very hard on local communities. So, you know, to that end, what can city councils do in the face of what's happened with the state?
Yes, well, preemption is a fact. It's the law of the land, not only on the state level, but federal level, and it's used quite often for lots of things. But it was brought home to the citizens of Lafayette that this is probably an unjust situation. And so we feel it incumbent upon ourselves that we voted for a ban. There is currently two bans on the books in the city of Lafayette's charter against oil and gas extraction, and it's incumbent upon us to enforce that law if the city council will not, if the state will not, just because it's just and moral that we should be able to do that. And so to that end, the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, which is a national legal organization, has worked closely with the city of Lafayette citizens to back them up if the current ban was ever to be preempted by the state again, and to make a day in court of it around the question of a rights-based defense, which has never been allowed that's never been heard in the legal system in Colorado.
What exactly would that be, a rights-based defense?
Well, it would be based on the U.S. Constitution that, you know, people have the right to their own self-governance. But there are all these other laws like Dillon's Rule and state preemption that doesn't allow that. So it's a contradiction, and it needs to be taken, you know, to the heart of the U.S. Constitution. So that's kind of the bigger picture of it all in a legal framework, that this is this goes way beyond our run for city council in Lafayette. It's like a movement. It's a national movement. And there are different communities around the country that have been CELDEF, that organization I named, has also helped with those kinds of defenses. The most recent one was a Lake Erie designation as the rights of a citizen. So that got tied up in court once again, but that's the sort of thing. And so we want to tie the city of Lafayette's issues, large and small, to, you know, this bigger reality that we're living under.
Now, Senate Bill 181 did change some of this, and this was legislation passed in the last legislative session that changes, I suppose, how the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission regulates things. And local control was a part of that. So would anybody like to talk about what's happening now, or have things changed when it comes to local control as you see it in the wake of Senate Bill 181?
Well, I went to the hearing or the workshop that we had for City Council in Lafayette just following SB 181's passage. And, you know, we had the attorney appointed by the city who has an oil and gas background and was, you know, walking through the rulemaking or the rules of the SB 181 and where we have opportunities to, you know, to ban or limit fracking. And it just, the whole thing was, it disturbed me because it was, you know, our council members were trying to offer things. Well, maybe if we make it price excluding, you know, that we put so many fees on, then that will keep out oil and gas. Instead of, for me, it just really, the argument should be the fundamental right that our community has to a clean environment, and our children should have to grow up in a sustainable environment. Just this week, Greta Thunberg said, you know, if standing up against the climate and ecological breakdown and for humanity is against the rules, then the rules must be broken. And you know, that's just not the stance that our city council seems to be taking. It seems like we're looking to the county and to the state to guide us through this process. And we don't want our city attorneys deciding our climate sustainability issues. We need to, you know, make those decisions ourselves.
Well, to that end, if you were elected to city council, what would each of you do on this particular issue?
Well, we have a climate bill of rights in Lafayette that was introduced by a council member, Marilee Mazza, when she was on council, and it was passed. But it's not a we can do. We want to put forward an ordinance to let the city decide to make that a permanent part of our charter. And that means that no city council, you know, later can come through and just strike it from the charter. So that's one thing, you know, one of the main things that we're running on is that we want to make that a permanent part of the charter and then just deny all oil and gas permitting based on the fact that it's a, you know, it violates our fundamental right to a clean environment.
And if that's the case, then there's a chance that that might be, again, challenged legally based on preemption, just like the 2013 community rights bill was. And so we understand that so the long range picture with that would be that organization I named, CELDEF, Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, has a standing offer to Lafayette to defend the Climate Bill of Rights pro bono for free if it ever came to that. So we would advocate taking them up on that offer if it ever. And that way, that, as we mentioned before, a legal a rights-based defense would be something that would be introduced into the legal system, and then we would see where it goes.
Do you have any other issues that you're really concerned about?
For me, I also have another equally important issue, and that's housing. I'm a single mom. I've been priced out of homeownership and even all two-bedroom apartment rentals in Lafayette. And so I was able to get a mobile home, and that's where I live with my son. And I feel like that's the last affordable housing option that we have. And so it really hits close to home for me, this issue. And I would want to be a strong supporter of protecting the affordable housing options that we have now and expanding them also. So that's a really big issue for me.
The Community Rights Foundation, it started in Lafayette and in Boulder County around the oil and gas issue, but it can be applied to any of the issues. And to me, it's in terms of movement building, the question always is looking at issues from the bottom up rather than the top down.
Marty Pfeffer and Patricia Townsend, you are two of five candidates that you're running on a shared platform in the Lafayette City Council 2019 municipal elections. Who are the other three?
The other three are Anne Burrell, Jenna Tolberg, and Tanya Briggs.
And we will put more information about those candidates and extended interviews with the two we heard from this morning, Marty Pfeffer and Patricia Townsend, online at news.kgnu.org, along with all of our other November 2019 municipal election coverage. Up next, it is the Comment Line.
I just noticed it's Wednesday, the 16th of October, and I was unable to find the Democratic debates last night on any television station that I'm able to receive. And this seems to me to be kind of strange. To foster an open society, it seems that somebody, Rocky Mountain PBS didn't have the debates on, neither did KBDI, another public service station out of Broomfield, I guess. But I didn't find it on any of the regular networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, nothing. I looked at some of the more offbeat ones. So this is a chilling effect on the whole democracy. Those should be carried. So that is a way of funneling, you know, from the powers that be, funneling down, you know, the public's right to see the differences between more front-runner candidate and some of the so-called lesser ones. So we're at a crisis for our republic. We don't have a full democracy, but our republic is at a crisis stage. Maybe people don't really want to look at it, but it's coming to a head. Don't think it isn't. My name is Mike.